Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. Ted Fishman is our guest and our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's a former floor trader, ladies and gentlemen, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. It doesn't get any more frantic and frenetic than that. Right there, folks. Ted is an outstanding writer. He's the author of China Inc., and he is our China expert, one of the world's experts on China. Not only China, but the emerging China, as it is evolving and unfolding in our present and our future. Ted Fishman, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be with you, Jim, as always.
Your world has really changed since you got off the floor, hasn't it?
Oh, it has changed so much.
That's a wild and wacky world, isn't it?
Gone from the wild, wacky world of unbridled communism in Chicago to the wild, wacky world of capitalism.
Capitalism.
Communism.
Capitalism in Chicago.
Capitalism in Chicago to the wild, wacky world of unbridled capitalism in China.
Yeah. Let's talk about what's in the news on China these days. A couple of the big pieces of news, Ted, is the corrupted products, the dangerous pet food that kills some animals, hurts some animals, the lead paint on toys. For goodness sake, we've had poison and corrupted products here in the United States. So that happens. Sometimes we've had stuff come from Europe We've had Perrier water that got contaminated and et cetera, et cetera. But Ted, we've known for 40 years that lead was dangerous. What's wrong with these people?
Yeah, there's a difference. You know, we've had some really big high-profile recalls in the U.S. recently. You know, Ford recalled more than 1 million cars. Every Boeing plane is now being inspected. But there's a difference. You know, there were no bad actors in these big American recalls
right here.
No one was trying to make unsafe products to save costs and then pull the
wool over. No one disregarded things that we knew were dangerous.
Right. You know, I was talking to a friend who has been doing business in China for over a decade, speaks great Chinese. He really lives a Chinese life over there. And I was talking to him about this, and he was kind of laughing. He goes, yeah, Ted, you know, China is kind of a nightmare in that respect. You have corporate suppliers, you know, company suppliers whose motive is to cut costs at every stage and have a total buyer beware mentality. Their own corporate reputations are not their concern, and they simply don't think that way. They think, oh, if the American will take lead paint, you know, that's his problem.
It's classic Eastern ethics, isn't it?
Well, in some of these cases, you know, having said that, you know, some of my very favorite things that I own are Chinese things are Chinese-made things because they're such high quality. You know, a lot of them have Japanese names on them. You know, my digital camera will probably never break.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been to factories where there are Japanese customers of those factories and where there are American customers for those factories, and there are separate rooms where they meet the specifications of the Japanese manufacturers and where they meet the specifications of the Americans. And the Japanese
mm-hmm.
are so much more careful,
yep.
and they really strike fear in the hearts of their Chinese suppliers.
Really? But we don't.
And we don't. You know, we kind of go to the first level.
Very interesting.
And then because we're so trusting at home, we can be more trusting at home.
Well, you know, and I think you and I have talked a little bit about this ethics situation. Western ethics is not the same as ethics in really the rest of the world, especially in the East, in the Middle East, and in the Far East. Ethics there is what you said, basically what you said a minute ago, Ted, which is that if a customer will let me sell them this, then it's on them.
Yeah, and part of that is just the nature of the social networks that people operate in. You live under a government that you can't trust to enforce the laws.
Right.
You live in a network of affiliates who is your primary network, and they are constantly pressuring you to cheat people outside your network.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to be an ethical actor within your network, you're almost obliged to treat people outside shabbily.
So why do we continue to do business with these people?
Well, it's cost, cost, cost. You know, look, we bring in $300 billion worth of stuff in China, and we sell it at a huge markup here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking to a friend of mine who started a business making lunchboxes in China. They are well-designed plastic lunchboxes. They're hip-looking. They cost 40 cents to make in China, and they sell here for $9.
Yeah, yeah. Stand by, Ted. We're going to take a quick break. It's 22. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're going to talk some more with Ted Fishman about China. He is the author of China Inc. Stay with us.
On the wire, just to catch my breath. I don't know how or where, but I'm going. It's all that I have left.
We've drawn toward the source, spinning at the mercy of an unrelenting force. So we stare into the emptiness, fall beneath the weight, circling the nexus.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Ted Fishman, Ted C. Fishman. He is the author of China Inc., How the Rise of the Next Superpower Challenges America and the World. You know, Ted, one of the things that is so critical to, in my opinion, to the marketplace, and when I say the marketplace, I'm talking macro here, is trust. You know, when you and I meet each other coming down the road in our automobiles, there's a white line or maybe a yellow line that separates our two lanes. But I trust you to stay on your side of the road. It's an understood thing. I trust you when we are at a restaurant. I trust you not to talk too loud. I expect you to behave, you know, as you should. If I go to your restaurant, even if you've gotten a good rating from the health department yesterday, I trust you today not to poison me. And there's so much, you know, I think a lot of times in the West, Ted, we take trust for granted. We expect it so much. It's such an important fabric, part of the fabric of our society, that we expect it so much, we actually take it for granted. It's not even as much of a, it's an important commodity, but it's not even something we think about much because it's so expected. But when we deal with people like China and others, like some people in the Middle East as well, that trust is not the same, is it?
Well, it's not the same. Part of it is structural, that in the Middle East, you have resource economies where the group that controls the prime resource, whether it be oil or natural gas, works like crazy and in brutal ways to keep that. And nobody trusts them, and because the only road to wealth is through that resource gatekeeper. In China, it's a little different. The big value there is power, and power comes through the Chinese Communist Party.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chinese Communist Party is not a party that's driven by laws. It's a party where the idea of the rule of law is flexible at best. And this is one reason why lesson number one in China and doing business in China is relationship building, because everything comes out of the relationship between you and your partner, not between mm-hmm. the relationship between you and the society at large.
Mm-hmm.
And unless your partner can look you in the eye, learn a little about you, see you when you're vulnerable, when you're drunk, suss you up that way, he has no other tools in keeping you, you know, in his trust.
When we do business with the Chinese, do we need to not presume trust? Do we need to be very specific, sort of as you were talking about the Japanese, where we say, look, I'm not going to take anything for granted. Here are the things I expect from you.
You know, what did President Reagan tell the Russians over and over again,
yep.
the Soviets, during the arms negotiation? Trust, but verify.
Right.
You know, don't say, oh, this is the guy we trust, he's going to do fine by us. You know, and that's just good business sense anyway. I've been to China and seen fabulous relationships between companies and their Chinese partners. Really great, as good as any. And Chinese people on an individual level can be very ethical. They'll run after you if they give you the wrong change. But, you know, in these bigger deals, it is definitely buyer beware.
What about, let's talk a little bit about some of the big issues that China has. You know, one of the things that I think is in the news right now is the environmental issues, Ted. I gave a little talk on global warming to a few groups lately, and one of the things I discovered in my research was that China, and this surprises a lot of people, by the way, Ted. Of course, you knew this a long time ago. China is 1/20. They're 1/5. I should say 20%. They're 1/5 the size of the U.S. economy, China's economy is. And yet they produce 80% as much carbon emissions as we do.
You know, they're up, you know, there's some studies out this year, just being talked about in the paper this week, where China is already the number one emitter of greenhouse gases.
Here's my question, and see that by the way the research that I was using was not 07 research, I think it was 06 research, but here's the question: does that include what we've been hearing about the coal mine fires, the thousands of coal mine fires?
Of course it does, and it includes all of the industry that goes into creating an industrial infrastructure that's going to be as big as that of the United States.
You know, and all the two-cycle engines that they run over there that put out a lot.
Two-cycle engines, absolutely. They're not up to the world emission standards quite yet. They're working to get there. It is a coal economy. China, there's this great article in the New York Times over the weekend by Elizabeth Economy at Cornell, and she had this stunning thing where China's coal use and its bad quality coal is greater than that of the United States, Japan, and the United States and the United Kingdom put together.
Mm-hmm.
And that China needs, you know, because their energy use is so inefficient, they have to use, what did she say, 7 times the amount of energy to produce the same value of goods.
Exactly.
As an advantage.
And so, which puts in perspective, in my opinion, all the people running around, you know, trying to get the United States to become more efficient. We've already been doing that, ladies and gentlemen. We use much less petroleum and carbon fuels in per dollar of GDP today than we ever did, much less.
But so we send production to China. I mean,
yeah,
we are party to it. You know?
Exactly. We'll get you to talk about that when we come back after these messages. It's Tin Till. Ted Fishman is our guest. Stay with us.
Be like thunder. I don't know why they don't
We're back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Neither one have a barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you hang out with us. We'll let you in, and you can just wander around on our sites and use them to your advantage. Lots of stuff there, and both of them, the first one is where you can find our show and articles, our newsletter, our blog, lots of stuff there, smallbusinessadvocate.com, askjim.biz, askjim.biz. .biz is our knowledge base where you can get small business answers now. Ted Fishman is our guest. He's the author of China Inc. And Ted, tell us where your book's available, please.
It is available wherever you buy a book. It's in 26 languages.
Wow.
In all online booksellers. There's a pirated version available in the streets of Beijing, I've been told.
No. Even the Chinese have ripped you off, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
They've ripped off the China book.
Somehow it's just not sitting well. And
no, I don't blame you. I wouldn't like that either.
But it's an uncensored version. You know, the Chinese government has also published a version of it, and with great promises it would be untouched, and it's for somehow the page count shrunk quite a bit.
Oh, really? Is that right? So
yeah.
How about I'll be darned. Well, and of course you have your own website, which is
ChinaInc-book.com.
ChinaInc-book.com. Okay, I was talking about all of the environmental problems that China has. That really, you know, Ted, to be fair, if the West cleaned up their act from a carbon standpoint, if humans are creating global warming, we still have a problem because of China and India. By the way, it's not just China. India is a high polluter too per dollar of output. But you think that we have some culpability. The West has some culpability in that too, don't you?
Oh, we do. Of course we do. We are building coal-fired plants in China for the Chinese. Companies that go to China from the United States, not necessarily our big premier companies who build their own world-class plants there, but kind of the middle tier and, of American industry, goes there to avoid environmental standards at home. You know, I was at this plant that makes household goods, organizing products in China, sold in big box stores in the United States, made from corn resin, advertised broadly as biodegradable, environmentally friendly, and the plant itself had been moved out of a Chinese city to the countryside to avoid environmental hazards.
Wow.
And I walked around, and there was spray paint all in the air. You breathed it as you walked through.
Mm.
The river was the color of the paint.
Oh, no.
People around the factory looked sick. And, you know, this is just a fact of business in China.
So is China, in 50 years, is China just going to be one huge Superfund site?
You know, that's not an exaggeration today in many places of China. You know,
we know about the river where there was this huge chemical dump and it was this big pool of chemicals that was going down this river. Remember that a few months ago?
Well, you know, only 15 out of 100 people in China have drinkable water.
Wow.
The air in China is unbreathable. You know, 16 of the world's 20 most polluted cities are in China. There's cities in northeast China where children grow up never seeing the sun. That is not an exaggeration.
Are you serious?
I am.
Why doesn't Al Gore take his movie to China?
Well, he should. You know,
why is he beating us up? Oh, in America. Why didn't he take his movie to China?
You know, China only allows 10 American movies a year in the country.
The Grapes of Wrath and The Wizard of Oz and what else?
Yeah. you know, they don't... you know, the idea of a politician getting on the screen and criticizing a government...
Yeah, it's unheard of over there.
Is unheard of. You know, one thing we didn't mention, which was in this article in the New York Times by Elizabeth Economy, was... the fact that China adds 14,000 new cars that had not been on the road before, not replacement cars, brand new cars to the roads every single day.
Wow.
Every single day. And it will have as many cars as the United States in around 17, 18 years and keep doubling from there. You know, China has six times our population. If it gets to our level of car ownership, which is more than 1-to-1, you know, it's going to have... You know, 1.3 to 1.5 billion cars.
Wow.
So unless we deliver, you know, we should come up with the technology to sell the Chinese on clean air. They'd be willing buyers if it was affordable because it's killing hundreds of thousands of people a year.
Right.
The Chinese government alone estimates that 500,000 deaths in the country a year are attributable to pollution in the country.
Wow. That's amazing. Ted, you've got me scared now. You frightened me today. But thank you for being here. Good job. You always educate us and inform us. We're looking forward to the next visit already.
Me too. Thank you.
Ted Fishman, ladies and gentlemen, the author of China Inc. And he'll be back, I promise. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I'm going to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.